Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Hey, we want to thank our great friends, our family, over at Nacho Mama's Food Truck. Without Nacho Mama's, there would be no Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast whatsoever. So thank you, Nacho Mamas, and you could find them on Twitter at Nacho Mamas SEA, on Facebook and Instagram at Nacho Mamas Seattle. Mrs. Clams is out this week, so who's going to talk about where they're going to be this week? Oh, baby, L Train, I'll take it on right here, baby. I'm with you Wednesday, August the 28th. Oh, my God, baby, it's going to be some great Black Raven Brewing and from Redmond, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., you know what I'm saying, baby. And then Thursday, August the 29th, Stoop Brewing and Ballad, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., baby. Ballad, it's a great up there. You can go do a little fishing right about. Yes, you can do that, a little dusty. Anyway, and then Friday, August the 30th, oh, it's a great Friday night. Calm, you know what I'm saying? In Kenmore, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. L Train. And then Saturday, August the 31st, oh, go up and get funky like a monkey up in Urban Family Brewing in Magnolia from 1 to 7 p.m. Go up there, get you some nachos, some beer, and then head out and go home and get yourself sit down, and you got to line up and sit down and watch AEW, the big extravaganza they're putting on that day. My son Cody Rose, Dusty, let me get in here, man. That's a whole different subject here. Anyway, check out the specials this week at Nacho Mama's. Nacho Taco Tuesday, even though they don't even open till Wednesday, but we're still having a Nacho Taco Tuesday. Cheddar cheese sauce, ground beef, and ground bacon cooked in taco seasoning, black olives, tomatoes, sour cream, pickled jalapenos, and cilantro. Oh, you need that little bit of sweets for your sweet tooth? Dark chocolate, cocoa nib brownies. Man, head over to their website, NachoMamasSeattle.com. You can check out these specials, these locations, upcoming locations, their entire menu. And again, it's NachoMamasSeattle.com, Twitter, NachoMamasSCA, Facebook, Instagram, at NachoMamasSeattle. Baby, hashtag nachos and beer, L Train. Hey, yo, this is the L Train. We're back, and dude, he's back. The man that I think's been on more Bigfoot Pro Wrestling podcast episodes than anyone else alive to date. And it is the one and only on Twitter, at Beast Mode Manny. Manny! What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. Just trying to recover from these past 2 days that we had. I mean, technically it wasn't the weekend, but it took the whole weekend for me to just kind of recoup and you know, now I'm back in my rhythm here at work. How are you doing?
I'm not back in my rhythm by any means.
Yeah.
That was, you know, a couple late nights for me and having to do stuff the next day after all that kind of stuff because I had to work on Friday, and then we had a family thing on Saturday that I had to jump up and go do. I still didn't get up till 11, but it was still kind of – even though I didn't even drink, man, it was like I had a beer with my Cuban over at Doyle's on Friday night before I came over, but still it was kind of rough on Saturday.
I like that Doyle's place, man.
Dude, I did.
I ended up ordering, it was like a poutine, but it had like, it was like a bangers and mash kind of style poutine, so it had like pieces of sausage, and the potatoes were like potato wedges, and it was really good, man.
Nice, nice, nice. You got that on night one or night two?
I think it was pre-funking for day two.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha.
We went and we did an escape room over there in Tacoma. We got a group on because we were like, man, like, why not kill some time while we're out there? So we did an escape room out there, and we managed to escape. Myself, buddy Andrew, Nick at around Seattle, and his fiance Katrina. We did pretty good. I mean, considering that those escape rooms are usually like 10 people, we were only four, and I mean, those things aren't, like, super easy. Like, you are going to have your brain kind of hurting. Like, you are going to have to be thinking and thinking outside the box. But they're fun. They challenge you.
So, riddle me this. So, it's actually a room that they put you in and they give you clues and you have to work your way out? Or am I thinking differently?
Yeah. I mean, they have different themes and different things that you're trying to solve. But, like, this one that we were doing, it was, like, something about the Mona Lisa, and it was, like, stolen, and it was replaced with a fake one. So we had all these paintings all over the rooms. We didn't even know it was, like, two rooms until, like, 10 minutes into the escape room thing. We didn't even know that there was another room in there. So we're lost, like, big time. And then the guy just comes over, and he opens the door, and we're like, oh, okay. There's a lot more to do. So... yeah, that was the second time I've done that. Did one previously over there in Portland. Surprisingly, at a Defy show also.
No, not a Defy show.
Yeah, like we went to a Defy show over there in Portland, and we needed something to do, so we did an escape room. I would recommend, you know, if you haven't tried it, go check it out. They're fun. They're usually always on Groupon, too.
Very nice, very nice. But let's rotate it back a little bit to night one, which was a Thursday night. Apparently, Mr. Manny here had what, the Thursday and the Friday off, if I'm not correct. If I am correct, excuse me.
No, I had to work both days. I got half days.
Half days? Oh, okay.
I worked 4 days each day because I don't know. My boss was on vacation at that time. And it's really difficult for us to get time off when one other person's off because we have a really, you know, small department. So a half day's worked. And that way I didn't use up too much of my vacation time, too.
Well, that's cool. Kind of used a 1 day over a 2 days' time, so that's pretty cool. I thought you'd just taken exactly. Both days off. I'm like, man, I ain't got that kind of vacation hours to spend, man.
No, neither do I, and I got something else coming up in September, so I gotta be smart with my hours.
Nice, nice, nice. So what'd you do on, you got down there early on night one for the New Japan show?
Yeah, New Japan, right before we went there, we stopped at Popeyes. I don't know if you've been hearing all this buzz about the chicken sandwich.
I have heard it. Explain to us, please.
So pretty much like... thanks to Twitter and Facebook and social media, Popeyes recently came out with their chicken sandwich, and I'm surprised it's taken them this long to come out with a chicken sandwich, honestly. And people were saying that it was like the best thing ever, and word spread around, and a lot of issues have been coming out, you know, places running out of chicken sandwiches, these crazy long lines. kind of reminding me of Chick-fil-A when they first opened it over there in Bellevue. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, it was like that in Covington just a little bit.
Yeah, they got one in Covington now. Pretty much like Popeyes was not ready for that demand, and their employees aren't used to it either. I mean, they've always had good chicken. I don't know if you are a fan of Popeyes. In my opinion, it's good.
I have had the chicken strips and a couple of the sides here and there. It's a good chicken. It's a good chicken.
Yeah, but this chicken sandwich, man, I mean, people were talking up a big game about it. So I was reading a report that they were saying that Popeyes, they saved around like $28 million in advertising based off the social media buzz alone.
Holy crap.
And, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I one of my buddies, Ren, you know the Sacramento Bros, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, he sent me a picture of a Popeyes that he went to, and there was a sign on the door that said that they weren't going to have any more chicken sandwiches until September 1st.
Wow.
So that's like a whole week, right? I mean, that's...
So that basically they did not plan for the demand.
No, I don't think anybody was expecting it to be this crazy. I mean, they've always had a good flow of customers and clientele from what I see, because there's a Popeyes nearby the Fred Meyer that I buy my groceries at, and it always looks like it's pretty busy, like a good amount. But now it's crazy, man. Like, the cars are circling around.
Oh, wow.
I've heard many stories of people trying to go to different Popeye locations and no sandwich, but...
So you haven't had the sandwich yet?
Oh, I've had the sandwich.
Okay. Let's get to that then, yeah. Manny. You went and got the sandwich. Where did you get your sandwich, and how was the sandwich?
So myself, Danny, and his cousin Paul, we went to the Popeyes. The one that I'm telling you that's by the Fred Meyer, by where I buy my groceries. Because I drove night one, Danny drove night two, you know, simple. We took turns. But Danny had been wanting to try that chicken sandwich for a while, because I already tried it before that. And he's like, I really want to try it. I was like, well, we could try and grab it, grab a chicken sandwich before the Super J Cup show. So we went, we sat down, took the order. Girl was pretty rude. I mean, I'm like, hey, can I get a spicy chicken sandwich? And as soon as I said that, she's like, it's going to be a wait.
God damn, like, just. Oh.
And I just said, oh, okay. You know, and at the same time, I'm trying to understand them. Like, they're not used to this much, like, demand, and they're probably stressed out. And who knows how many times they hear that phrase, you know, chicken sandwich. Like, they probably hear it in their sleep. So we sat and we waited a little bit, and, I mean, it's so good, man. I think it lives up to the hype.
All right. See, what's on this sandwich? Is it just a deep-fried chicken breast? Is there some cheese on there? Is it what is it, man? What makes it so delectable?
It's similar to the Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwich. They have a chicken sandwich where it's just the chicken and the pickles, right? That's the Chick-fil-A version. But the Popeyes version, it has like a spicy mayo, like a remoulade. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Like a sauce,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
like a spicy salty kind of sauce. Really good. The chicken is like Popeyes chicken. You know, it's got that crunch to it, that texture that you're used to, and then it's got pickles. I don't know if you're a pickle fan, but I'm a fan of pickles, and these pickles are really good too. I don't know. It's just like the combination of everything. It works really well.
It sounds great to me. I do like some good pickle on a chicken sandwich. Like, you know, even if you go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, get one of those little tiny chicken littles or those little things they call. It's like basically a chicken finger or chicken tender on a little tiny bun with a pickle and a little bit of mayonnaise. And I like that. So I couldn't even imagine how much I'll like this sandwich that you're talking about, which is probably not good for me in the slightest.
No, I wouldn't. I would recommend it, but at the same time, I wouldn't. You know, because I know you're trying to take care of yourself, and you know, at the same time, we all should be taking care of ourselves. But I couldn't resist with the chicken sandwich.
Well, I'll not to interrupt you, but I'll save the chicken sandwich after I lose a few pounds and it's a cheat day.
There you go. I don't think they're getting rid of it anytime soon. I mean, they'd be like throwing away money if they did that. Danny's cousin is like on a diet right now, and he's like, I'm just gonna bite off the corner of one of your guys' chicken sandwich. And me and Danny, we just looked at him like, really? And I said, how about you do this? I said, you grab the chicken sandwich, you order your own chicken sandwich, and you bite off the corners, and if you don't like it or if you need help, we'll help you finish it.
There you go.
He says, okay. He finished his sandwich before we did, man. He liked it a lot.
Oh, see? He should have, you know. It's almost like you should have just bought it for him, pulled off a little hunk, gave it to him, and then shared it amongst yourselves just to get the sandwich and help the guy out.
I think he would have been bummed out if he would have just had a little corner. So I knew what I was talking about.
Obviously, you do. You're a very good food connoisseur, drink connoisseur ever since I've met you. But anyway, man, we're talking chicken sandwiches here. This is supposed to be a wrestling podcast, and we're talking chickens. That's how much fun the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast is, right? But anyway, man, you guys had your pre-funk. You headed to the show. Did you get to the New Japan pre-show, the VIP stuff? Did you get any interaction, like, you know, pictures, any of that kind of stuff? You know what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
Like a meet and greet. They were offering meet and greets for each night. You know, each city got different wrestlers. I felt like we got kind of gypped over here. You know, the meet and greets were Dragon Lee and Robbie Eagles. No offense to Dragon Lee or Robbie Eagles, but we're going to get Dragon Lee the next night. So a lot of us were hoping to just meet him there at Defy. And he's also going to be at Bola. So I was like, if I don't see him at Defy, hopefully I'll see him at Bola. Robbie Eagles, we already saw him at Defy before. So, you know, I would have loved to have had Liger. I would have loved to have, well, Ospreay, The Amazing Red, LP, like all these guys that I would have preferred, but it was very limited for the Seattle show. Everybody else got like 4, 5, or 6 people.
So we didn't, I'm sorry, but we didn't even get Clark Connors on a meet and greet?
No, we didn't get Clark Connors. I was just kind of and they were like $40 each, so I was like, no, I think I'm just gonna skip out on it.
That's all right. I'm sure some people went in and had a blast doing that. Man, I did like that guy though. You say it's the first time I've ever seen him. I mean, I've probably maybe seen him on TV, but you know, there's been so many wrestling matches in my head, I can't remember all the time, especially the New Japan stuff sometimes. And Dragon Lee, man, that guy was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, Dragon Lee. Fun fact about Dragon Lee. I don't know if you know much about the Mexican wrestling, but he's brothers with Rush and Místico, which are also like some pretty big, you know, well-known wrestlers over there. And Rush recently signed to Ring of Honor. So, they've got a lot of good wrestling in those genes.
Nice. So, dude, you look like you had, did you have some great seats for the New Japan show?
Yeah, I was like front row. I mean, we purchased tickets as a group, and then I saw one front row ticket available, and I thought to myself, man, like, how many more chances am I going to have to see New Japan, like, front row? So I just went for it.
So you got
and it was a great seat. You know, it was right in the center of the aisle that I was sitting at, and I got a great view of everything.
Well, I know before we get into like the match card and some of the presentation, I was going to ask you about that they did with the lights and stuff. Dude, I know you got landed on a couple times. If you just want to highlight that just real quick before we get to the matches and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I felt like I had a big arrow, like saying right here, like. land here. So I don't know why, but
hell.
I guess it was just the spot that I was in, and, you know, nobody was really catching the dives. It wasn't like the fly. It kind of makes you appreciate what those guys that are all running around, the ring crew, they look out for us at Defy, man. And at the New Japan show, I kind of felt like it was like free-for-all. Like, okay, well, cool, this is going to happen, and race for it, because nobody else is moving, so you can't really run anywhere kind of thing.
Yep. Just like that time I did a run-in on that night, and I jumped in the ring and did a flip on you myself because it was so open. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, well, maybe those ring crew guys, like, it's not that easy for them. Like, they're just kind of scoping out the matches when we're at Defy, just trying to see, okay, who's going to do a dive and how can I protect the fans. Another guess of mine is that most of the New Japan shows, they have the railing and all that to protect us. So
yeah, we had the movie railing that night and the next night.
Yeah, I didn't feel very protected with that.
It was just like, where it is. I don't know what it meant. There was a lot of things I didn't know what meant with security, but that doesn't even matter at this point. But, man, it was phenomenal, man. I got in there. I was in the later rows, the back row, so when people stood up, I couldn't see sometimes. But, man, when everyone was sitting and the wrestlers were just going at it and doing all their stuff, it was freaking incredible. And the crowd was so into it. Like, and what do you think? How many people do you think they got in there that night?
It was sold out. We know that for sure.
I don't know what
tickets
the whole
thing was. For probably like a month. And I'm not sure if this is like the exact number, but what I did read was that it was around 1,200 people.
That's a crowd.
That's pretty good, man. I mean, they probably could have filled up even more if they tried. I mean, I did hear that the San Francisco venue was smaller.
Really?
That was sold out also. The last night, yesterday, where they had their show at the Walter Pyramid, that one did not sell out.
In L.A.?
That was reported like 2,200, which is still a pretty good amount.
Yeah.
Considering that like the huge names weren't there. You know, you didn't have Okada there, you didn't have Tanahashi, you didn't have Suzuki, you didn't have Ishii, like the guys that people go see. Nevertheless, it was a great show. You know, those Super Juniors, they know what they're doing, and it's like that Japanese strong style that everybody knows and loves. But you know, like this tournament took place right after the G1, so a lot of those guys that were in the G1, they need a break. So it makes sense. I mean, not the best turnout that they've had over there in Long Beach, but I wouldn't call it a loss either way.
No, and it's probably good, like you were saying, like the other guys kind of need a little break. So then you have the Super J Cup, you know, and some maybe slightly lesser known guys in there. But then you have Will Ospreay and, you know, some of those guys. And it was, man, I thought the wrestling that night was freaking phenomenal, and some shit that I've actually never seen before. That's how awesome these guys are. And I didn't even know all the wrestlers, and I watched it and I was just so into it. At points I was in my seat, and then I kind of sat up near the doors, kind of by the bar, and just kind of leaning up against the wall and watching it from there. And man, it was so much fun. The crowd was just popping, and I'm sure from your angle you must have had just a blast.
Oh man, it was awesome.
So first match, man, it looks like it was, man, we started off with Juice and Thunder Liger that night, right? And he was teaming up with Carl Fredericks.
And correct. He teamed up with Carl Fredericks, one of the young lions from the LA Dojo.
Oh, man, those guys were incredible. Sorry, I just kind of hit a button here on my thing. And I might need some help with these names, my man. But Ren Narita and Shota Umino.
Shota Umino. He's the son of Red Shoes. Did you know that, the referee?
I did not know that. I know who Red Shoes is, though.
Yeah, it was funny. We saw Red Shoes outside while we were still waiting for the doors to open.
did he have the shoes on then?
He was not wearing those Red Shoes, but he was decked out in all red. I thought he was like a gang member here in Tacoma. Or something. He looked like a blood. He had like a red like tank top and red shorts and red sandals and red socks, and it's like he wants people to recognize him, you know. And my buddy Justin got a picture with him. One of the guys that was standing out there, he thought he would be cool and speak to Red Shoes in Japanese. And he asked him, you know, hey, can we get a picture? He told him that in Japanese. And Red Shoes turns around and he goes, I speak English. I'm like, okay. So then he came over to the guy and he's like, how do you know Japanese? I don't know. It was pretty interesting. He seemed really nice, too. He got a nice reaction from the crowd also.
That's awesome. And you know, as I told you before, I missed out on, I think, the last two matches. So, and that's when he came out, right, for the main event?
Yeah, he reffed the last two matches. All right. My main event.
Well, we'll get to that. And, you know, but you know why I had to leave. I had to catch myself an Uber home, man. But anyway, dude, and seeing Juicin' Thunder Liger for the first time live, was that your first time live ever seeing him right at that point?
No, I saw him at a New Japan show in Long Beach, California.
Oh, was that just a couple years ago, right? Last year.
That was last year at the Walter Pyramid in Long Beach. The main event was the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi versus the Young Bucks. And that was a crazy show also, man. But it's always something special when you get to see the legend, Jushin Thunder Liger, in the ring, so...
Well, I
the fact that we got him here back to back, like, man, I have no words for that.
Oh man, and yeah, that match was fun. That, you know, he got the super pop when he came out, of course, and no one could throw streamers that night, you know, because New Japan doesn't allow the streamers. Which, you know, I don't know what's all about that. Probably just some kind of cleanup thing or whatever, or the, you know, maybe the floors at the place they're having their shows to, but. He got some streamers the next night, though. But anyway, man, that was super fun seeing him. That was the first time I've ever seen him live that night, and it was a freaking honor to see him that night. And then to even, you know, the next night was even more incredible. But anyway, man, I don't know if we want to go over the next match was Rocky Romero and, Soberano Jr.?
Correct. So, Verano Jr., he wrestles over there for Consejo Mundial de Lucha Libre, CMLL, one of the biggest promotions out there in Mexico. Another guy who has a lot of wrestling in his blood, you know, he has siblings, and he's really underrated, in my opinion. When he got announced for the Super J Cup, I was surprised, and I know a lot of people had to do, you know, some research, maybe look up some videos on YouTube to see some of his stuff, but these guys gelled well, you know. Rocky did a good job.
I don't think I've ever seen Rocky Romero before, and I loved him, man. All his facial expressions, the little almost Eddie Guerrero kind of little dance he does, and then the way he would like go pound the guy in the corner, run over, give the crowd a little smile, run, hit him again, come back, give a wave, go hit him again. Man, I freaking really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, he's entertaining. You know, his name is the King of Sneaky Style, so he kind of does some things when the ref isn't looking, but you know, he's very entertaining.
I didn't see anything where the ref wasn't looking. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I think Rocky did not go over in that. The other fellow, Soberano Jr., went over in that, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
All right. Well, and the next one, we want to talk about it because it was, TJP, man, tongue twister right there, against the one and only, the hometown hero, Clark Connors. I thought Clark looked phenomenal. He looked like he's bulking up. He's got that look. His facial expressions are quite just amazing. What were your thoughts about this match and Clark Connors?
Man, I mean, it's been an honor to see Clark, you know, the evolution of him from, you know, working in Defy, kind of finding his groove here with Rebel Kell and the after party and all that, and then he leaves. And like you said, man, he's a completely different person now. He was a decent wrestler before, but now it's like he's fucking good, you know?
Yeah.
And it just shows like how different that New Japan style is. And I mean, training with Shibata, I think he's one of the best. So I was so impressed. I was so blown away, and I knew he was going to get a big pop, you know, coming back home, and I'm sure it was special for him. Even though he didn't get the win against TJP, TJP didn't get a lot of love at this show, man.
Well, I don't think he was going to with Clark in there. Everyone remembers Clark, man.
Yeah. I was happy to see Clark, and I had been wanting him to come back to Defy for a while, but I don't know how those rules are with New Japan. But you could definitely tell that he was happy and, you know, kind of feeling back at home and the reaction that he got.
Oh, he was doing fabulous, man. And when he'd get that, I don't know what he calls his finish here. It's like the Jericho, goddamn, I can't even think right now. The deal he does, it's almost like what Bret Hart does and Sting does, that kind of deal.
Like a Boston Crab?
Or? Yes, man, something like that. Things aren't coming to my mind right now. But anyway,
the thing with the Lions, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. But
no, go ahead, my man.
The thing with the Young Lions in New Japan is that they have a very limited moveset. You know, all the Lions do the same moves. And they do that so they can kind of focus on the basics, and once they think they're ready, that's when they start, you know, working on different moves and a different style and finding their own gimmick. I don't know if you noticed that they all just wear, you know, black trunks.
I did notice that, but I really like that. I really, really like that. Just makes them like, you know, no gimmick. We're going out there to wrestle, kind of kick some ass and do what we need to do.
Yeah, I mean, not only just the L.A. Lions, but the other Lions that were there, too, the ones that wrestled against Liger and Frederick.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that entire night was incredible here, man. And what's left here, man? We got a few more here. There were so many matches that night, and there was not an intermission. Were you surprised there was not an intermission?
No, I was kind of expecting that just from, you know, what you see on TV and given that I did attend the New Japan show before, I thought it was going to be a lot longer, but it felt like it just flew by. You know, all the matches, just being entertained, being in the moment, you know, it kind of made everything go by super fast. Like, no complaints from me. I know that some people did feel like it dragged, but I felt like it was a perfect time.
No, the timing I thought was good. I you know, I don't always need an intermission. I just wanted to see the matches go, especially in a size venue that we see these shows in. That show, Defy, when Progress comes to town, of course, Washington Hall. You can see the match and still kind of grab, you know, a beverage or go get a shirt or whatever you need to do, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go over the whole Japan card, but what I wanted to say is the one match, man, and I'm going to need some help with this one, of course, because I don't know the first guy. I know the second guy. Jonathan Gresham. I've seen him wrestle a couple different times at various places, and he took on last name Taguchi?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Breaking up there a little bit. You still there? Uh-oh. Hello?
Can you hear me?
I'm here. Go ahead. I can hear you now.
Okay. Gresham was the only person.
Nope. Hold on, my man. We're having a moment for some reason. You still there? Damn. Manny? Shit. We're in a dead zone. I don't know if you can hear me. You there, brother?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you smooth now. Shit happens.
Okay.
But anyway, Jonathan Gresham, man. Gresham. God, let me do that again. Anyway, Jonathan Gresham. That match.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man. Talk about it.
Well, Jonathan Gresham, I mean, I feel like he's one of the best technical wrestlers out there. Really underrated. I don't know if his size has anything to do with, like, people looking at, like, not taking him into account when they speak about the best technical wrestlers, because he's pretty small. I don't know if you looked at him when he was in the ring, but
yeah, I could.
I'm guessing he's, like, 5'1", maybe, 5'2".
Yeah, he's not the tallest guy in the world, but he'd kick my ass and probably three other guys.
Oh yeah, most definitely. this was a great match. You know, he wrestled against Taguchi. It was a comedy match. I'm not the biggest comedy guy. Like, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a fan of like Joey Ryan and stuff like that. But once in a while, you know, when it's good, I'll enjoy it. And I felt like they did a great job. You know.
Well. If I might,
it was refreshing compared to like everything else that was going on.
If I might just ask you this real quick, Taguchi, is that kind of his thing? Kind of a Joey Ryan, Randy Myers kind of thing, where they got kind of this gimmicky thing kind of going on. Not that I hate it or am against it or love it, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying, is that one of his things? Because what did he have?
Yeah,
like, he had something on his pants. I didn't know what the little saying was. I couldn't hear very well.
He came out with a rugby ball, and he comes out wearing a helmet too. And his nickname is the Coach. And you know, on the back of his tights, he's got the words "Funky Weapon" written on there.
Funky what? Say it again. Hold on, my man. I'm sorry. Funky what?
Funky Weapon.
Funky Weapon.
Yeah.
Got it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And his thing is that he hits people with his butt.
Okay. I got it now. Yeah, those guys were having, like, it seemed like a good time. Jonathan Gresham was kind of getting stuff over on him for the first half of the match. But, man, it was a good time.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jonathan Gresham.
But he did not move on, if I see correctly here on what I'm looking at online.
No, Taguchi got the win, which I filled out my bracket before the tournament started, and I predicted that Gresham was moving on, so I was wrong in that one.
I didn't fill out a bracket just because I didn't know some of the wrestlers enough. It's not like college basketball bracket where I can just like, yeah, I'll just anyway. But anyway, man, then Robbie Eagles, who we've seen before at a Defy show, taking on El Fantasmo. Thoughts on that?
I was really looking forward to this match, man. Robbie Eagles, he's a great wrestler. He wrestled the fight second year anniversary against Classic Cody Chun. He's wrestled at Bola for PWG. He used to be in Bullet Club, but now he's in Chaos at New Japan. And LP is like the biggest heel that they have right now. You know, from Canada, wrestled up there in ECCW. He had some issues with the border, got banned for like, I think he had like the same treatment that Nicole Matthews had, where he got banned for 5 years.
Oh.
From what I hear, he was trying to come to the U.S. with Kyle O'Reilly to do some training a few years ago. And I guess he got caught up. He got banned. They wanted to make an example out of him. He ended up going to the UK to kind of make a name for himself, working for all the big companies out there, Progress and RevPro. And through RevPro, he got that opportunity to start working in New Japan. And I just think that dude's so freaking talented, man. I've been wanting to see him at the five for the longest. And he was one of the guys that I was hoping would be on this tour. And once he got announced, I was really happy.
He used to be
a tag team partner with Artie. Did you know that?
I didn't know that until the last couple of days after he, you know, we'll talk about it in a minute when we get to the Defy piece of this. When he came out and kind of were calling some people out. But tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they used to tag up there in ECCW. I think they were champions at some point. I'm not, like, 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that LP was the person that got Artie to actually become a wrestler. So we have him to thank for that. And I know that they've had a lot of feuds up there in ECCW. Most recently, the Ballroom Brawl in January. They wrestled each other for the title. LP still had the ECCW title with him, and Artie won that off him. So,
Man, oh, man. What was that?
I can only imagine, like, the chemistry that they have. You know, these guys that have been wrestling side by side and training, and I'm sure they know each other like the back of each other's hand, you know?
Oh, that's probably crazy. Just like some of the Buddy Wayne Academy guys. They've probably practiced together so many times, it's just like, you know, the back of their hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, just a few matches left here on this New Japan show. What about the Dragon Lee match, dude?
Dragon Lee... Who did he wrestle? Yo? Yeah, so... Dragon Lee, man, he bases his style a lot off Shibata. He's a big fan of Shibata, and from what I know, Shibata's a big fan of Dragon Lee, too. So you see a lot of that similar moveset, you know, the strong style, those knees and those kicks and those chops. They look like they fucking hurt, man.
Dude, I was incredibly impressed with Dragon Lee on both nights of this two-night extravaganza. He didn't even have, like, a mouthpiece on his mask, did he?
No, he didn't.
That's crazy. That's got to make it even extra tough to, like, even breathe. So, man, go ahead.
He does. I think you're thinking about Carístico.
Oh, maybe, huh? Where there's no mouthpiece.
Yeah, just the whole face covered up.
God, that's got to be rough, man. But anyway, let's get to the eighth match, which I kind of took off before this because I had to get an Uber home. It was getting late because I'm an old-ass man, Manny. But anyway, this match, it was, man, is it Sho versus Taiji Ishimori?
Correct. Sho and Yo are actually a tag team in New Japan, Roppongi 3K.
I like that. Sho and Yo.
And their manager is Rocky Romero, so I think you'd be a big fan of that.
Oh, I would.
But in this tournament, they were wrestling as singles competitors. This was a semi-main event. Dude, I was so surprised to see how small Taiji Ishimori was. I saw him walking around the ring, and I'm like, this dude's tiny, man. Yeah, sometimes it can be surprising when you see them in person. Sometimes they look bigger, sometimes they look smaller. But Ishimori, man, I think he's one of the best super juniors that New Japan has on their roster. He's in the Bullet Club, and he was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion for a bit. So that dude's very talented. He used to wrestle in Noah. He left Noah, then he was wrestling Impact for a bit, and now he's in New Japan, and he's killing it.
Is Sho going to get a piece of Dragon Lee in the next round? I don't know what the brackets look like currently, but...
The tournament ended last night,
Oh, that's right. That's right. They had it in San Fran and then L.A. last night.
Yeah, so they had night one in Tacoma. Then they had the fight on Friday. Then San Francisco on Saturday and Long Beach on Sunday.
Damn.
The fight was the only promotion to, like, work with New Japan talent during this time. I did not see any other indie get talent from New Japan. So that just shows you how big and the impact that Defy is having right now.
It's crazy. Crazy. It's getting into everyone's veins, the Defy just jumping in there and shit, dude. But, dude, break off the last match for us, obviously. You knew all about it. I think you got landed on at least once or twice in this match. Will Ospreay versus Amazing Red. Take the floor, Manny.
So, Amazing Red, I feel like he was before his time kind of thing. Like, this dude was an innovator, you know. He was doing all these moves and things that nobody else was doing at that time. And thanks to this guy, like, we have this new generation of high flyers, these Ricochets, these Will Ospreys. And if you see these interviews, a lot of those people, they say that Amazing Red is the reason why they decided to get into wrestling. A lot of his classics that he had in TNA Wrestling, you know, with AJ Styles or the X Division matches. I'd never seen him wrestle live before. You know, he retired. He was the type of person that would retire and then he would come back and he would retire again due to injuries. Most recently, he was supposed to wrestle Rey Fénix WrestleMania weekend. He had to pull out due to injuries. But recently, like a few months or weeks ago, Will Ospreay suddenly started tweeting Amazing Red, "Hey, I know you have one more match in you, and I want to be the one to give you the proper retirement." And Amazing Red kind of kept putting it off. And, you know, during that time, I jokingly said, "Hey, come do it in Seattle. Come do it at Defy." I would tweet him. Not thinking that was actually going to be a possibility. And once the Super J Cup got announced and I see that Will Ospreay and Amazing Red are both in the tournament, I think to myself, man, like, such a big match, so much hype. I don't think they'll be doing it night one. I think they'll save it for the end, for the finale, right? We ended up getting it here, man, like a once-in-a-lifetime match. And I don't think I was the only one to feel like it was magic in the room. These two guys put on, I'm going to say it right now, it's the best match I've ever seen live. And I've seen plenty. I've been different states. I've been to New York. I've been to L.A. I've been to Canada. I've been to Oregon. I've been to plenty places. I've seen so many shows. And, man, like, the storytelling for this was surreal.
That's a freaking...
The chemistry that they had, the crazy fucking moves that they were doing all over the place. I mean, that's wrestling. That's what got me into this. It was amazing, you know. You have to see it on video on demand. You know, I know you had to leave, you had to miss it, but I'm going to remember that for a long, long time. And I can't wait until the video on demand comes out in New Japan. Supposedly they're going to be releasing it in September with New Japan World. But I highly recommend it, man. I wish they could have streamed it live. I know there was a lot of people that weren't able to make it to the show, that were bummed out that they were going to have to wait a bit. But, yeah.
That's all right. And we did see them recording it that night, though. There was plenty of camera work going on.
I have a feeling that the recording is going to look a lot like Defy now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people recording it were Defy people. And, you know, they had that smog in the air, that air fog machine. I'm excited to see what people think of the Defy recording style, because I know that there are quite a few people that subscribe to Defy now. this is going to be a larger scale. And, you know, if people like it, it might kind of change the way that people see wrestling on TV.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, it was a spectacular match. Amazing. I wish Meltzer was there sitting next to me so I could ask him. I know he was at the San Francisco show.
I think Alvarez was there, though, right?
Yeah, Alvarez had some high praise for it, too.
Nice.
You know, Will Ospreay ends up getting the win, and then he cuts this amazing, emotional, heartfelt speech on Amazing Red, and he's telling them that he's pretty much the reason why he became a wrestler. And thanks to him, it was just, you know, Will Ospreay was on his knees bowing to Amazing Red, and Amazing Red was crying. And yeah, man, it was great. Some people started throwing money into the ring, and Ospreay threw it back out. He said he didn't deserve it. I don't know if it's kind of like if it's frowned upon for New Japan, but you know, some people, I felt urged to throw money in the ring too. I had my wallet in my hand, and I stopped after I saw Ospreay kind of throw it back. I'm like, oh, I don't want somebody else to keep my money.
If
I throw it in, it was going to be for the wrestlers, you know?
Exactly. We saw that at the Defy show the next night, man. And anyway, man, we got so much more to talk about, man. We got a whole Defiance Forever card to talk about. And, Manny, we've been talking so long. What do you think, brother? Are we going to do part two?
Yeah, we're going to do part two. We're going to talk all about Defiance Forever, which was another night filled with action and lots of changes, and we're going to go into detail with that also.
I had a fabulous, you know, my seat for New Japan wasn't fabulous, but that's okay, because I just basically wanted to be in the building and get that experience, and I did get the experience. But night two, I had a fabulous balcony seat looking down on the ring the whole time. Got to experience the whole thing. So we got a lot to talk about on part two of this podcast. Me, and find him on Twitter, at Beast Mode Manny, my good friend. Manny, have a good night, my buddy.
You too, brother. Thank you.
All right, peace out. This episode recorded at the Bigfoot headquarters. This has been a Swagamore production.